Britton Project, your source for everything women, fashion, beauty, fitness, lifestyle, and entertainment, heard right here on WCHE 1520 AM, the talk of Chester County. Welcome to the Britton Project, and today's focus is primarily getting you ready for Halloween, from decorating to costumes for you and your pets, even ways to be a little healthier at any of those Halloween parties you might be going to. But before we get into today's show, I do want to take time for a special announcement. On November 1st, I will be doing my last radio show. I have accepted a new job, and while November 1st might mark my last show and the end of my time here at WCHE, I will still be updating my website, the Britton Project website, at brittonmchenry.wix.com/thebrittonproject. And I must say, it has been a great experience working here, been a great experience being on air and being on air with the Britton Project. And it's not completely over. I'm just moving on to a new chapter, a very exciting chapter. And so I wish all the best to everyone else here at the station. Now, let me go ahead and collect myself, because Halloween is right around the corner, and many people on social media have proven that it's not just a time for kids and even adults to get dressed up and celebrate. It's also a time to celebrate with their pets. Here with tips on how to make sure your pets have a safe and happy Halloween is the dynamic pet duo, Charlotte Reed and Dr. Michael Fleck. Hey guys, how are you today?
Hey, we're great. We're absolutely great, and we are live from Key West, and we're staying at the pet-friendly Sheraton Suite, so it's definitely a good time.
I would say, and you guys are definitely soaking up the sun, I would imagine.
Unfortunately, it's raining here. Oh. We're hoping it clears up by about 5:30, so, because Pet Masquerade, which we're going to be judging tonight, is going to be outside.
That's exciting.
Yeah, we're soaking up the excitement and the pleasure of Fantasy Fest, which is the big event that they're having here, and the Pet Masquerade Party is just a big part of that.
And I'm sure you're going to be seeing a lot of those pets dress up in costumes. Are there any costumes in particular that you are really excited and hope to see?
Well, I think, you know, since we got here last night, we went out last night, and one of the nice things about coming here during Fantasy Fest, which is about 10-day celebration, it's an adult celebration for, you know, a little bit, and people come from all over. There's 40 costume contests here, and the most family-friendly contest is the Pet Masquerade. So seeing what we saw last night with the body paint and the men and women in tutus and other things or no things, we know that here in Key West, people are going to bring it on tonight. So we're expecting to see a lot of creative costumes, whether it's the dogs go up solo to be judged or whether they come up with family members or their owners. So we're expecting to see a lot of creativity.
And I can imagine with a contest like this that it's not just going to your local pet store picking out a cute costume. These people are going to get as creative as possible and maybe even get to the point of making their pet's costume.
Yeah, I'm really excited about seeing what the creativity of these people are with their pets, especially after seeing just the creativity of the costuming for the people that we saw last night, you know, whether they were heavily clad with very different sorts of clothing or less heavily clad with less sorts of clothing. But we know that with the creativity that we saw for the people, we're really excited about what the pets are going to look like, and it's actually going to be very challenging for us as judges.
Well, what have been some of your favorite costumes that you've dressed your own pets up as in the past?
Well, I'll answer that one. One of the fun costumes I did, actually it was last year, I found a lobster costume, and I dressed Roan up as a lobster, and I got the craziest comments. One of the pictures, I showed that picture again this year, I'm doing a 31, it's a hashtag 31 Pet Trend Costumes, and someone said, dip that baby in a bowl of butter. So I thought that was really funny. Oh, and then here was another one. Last year, Quaker Pet Group did a license with A&E for Duck Dynasty. So I dressed one of my dogs up with the Duck Dynasty jacket and the headgear, scarf, and the beard. That's on my Facebook page. And that got tons and tons of comments, so that was kind of fun. And, you know, Duck Dynasty, how they make their living, mm-hmm. other than the show, is through duck calls. So I wrote, give us a call.
Nice.
And then the other fun one was, there was, I can't remember which dinosaur it is that has one horn.
Mm-hmm.
So I dressed Hudson up as a dinosaur, and it said, I'm horny. So it's, you know, it's a lot of fun dressing up the dogs and putting them on social media. And, you know, you can get as creative as you want, but costumes are no longer just for Halloween. They're for mm-hmm. part of everyday life or holidays that you celebrate. I know in the beginning of October we had National Fire Safety Month, and Hannah was dressed in her firehouse uniform. And, you know, she rivaled Sparky, their quote-unquote animated spokes dog. So it was just fun to remind people that dogs, you know, especially at a time like Halloween, can also start house fires. So just be careful with the candles and the lights.
Well, before we get into some of the safety around Halloween with our pets, I want to go back to the costumes. Do most pets seem to enjoy dressing up? Because I know my parents' dog, the first year that they really had her, they dressed her up as a witch, and she didn't particularly enjoy that to the point where she basically took on the personality of that character.
I mean, I'm kind of laughing because, you know, it's true. I mean, a lot of dogs, you know, it's cute to dress up your dog, and Dr. Fleck will tell you, it's great, it looks really cute, but some dogs just don't like it. So don't force them to wear a costume. You know, a great costume is cute, but your dog can look just as cute and be just as happy in something as simple as a bandana. I mean, if you do buy a costume, you want to make sure that it fits. You want to make sure if it has an elastic band, it's not going to be too tight or the costume's going to be too small. You want to make sure it doesn't obstruct their vision. You want to make sure they can walk in. A lot of times people buy the superhero costumes, but the capes are too long, and especially with the senior pets, they, you know, they don't need any more problems walking because some of them have arthritis. So you want to make sure they can walk in their costume. And it's, like you said, no stress at all, so that it's pleasurable and enjoyable for them to wear a costume. My dogs enjoy wearing costumes because they get tons of attention. They're used to it. But, you know, stay away from the headgear, especially if it's a first-time costume user. And really, let your dog walk around the house with a costume on. Mm. Get used to it for a few days before the big event or the big community parade.
And that's great advice. Go ahead.
I think it's safe to say that if you see a pet in costume, that they probably enjoy it. Those that don't like the costumes that are put on, you probably don't see them because they probably just rip it off themselves. So generally speaking, if you see a dog in costume, they're enjoying it. And that's probably the best way to describe it.
And that's a great way to look at it. And I like the idea of letting them try it out a couple of days ahead of time, so that way you know, come Halloween or the Halloween party or whatever the occasion is, if the pet doesn't like it, you don't have to waste the time trying to get them dressed up on that day.
No, and they won't let you.
Now, what are some other factors that we should keep in mind with Halloween and our pets just to keep them safe?
Well, you know, we're talking about the pet masquerade party and the contest. That doesn't usually involve trick-or-treating. And, of course, Halloween, the big part of Halloween for kids is going trick-or-treating. Mm. And as we're describing, you know, the pets are becoming part of that. They're becoming trick-or-treaters also. And so, consequently, they're dressed up in their costumes and they're going along the path as the kids and the rest of the family. As they're going along the path, the first thing you want to avoid is making sure that you really don't come into too much contact with the other trick-or-treaters. You can have the most pet-friendly pet, but sometimes with other kids coming up and wanting to hug them and just trying to enjoy the pet that's all dressed up in costume, it can scare your pet, and you don't want your pet biting some other child or biting somebody else. So you really have to monitor and keep that pet isolated within your own confinement of your unit. Mm-hmm. The second thing is that when you go trick-or-treating, you're going to be getting candy, and we all know that candy is not necessarily good for the pet. It's not good at all for the pet. And we all know that chocolate, and of course, the darker the chocolate, the worse it is for the pet, or the more toxic it is. But also you want to remember that candy today has a lot of substitute sugar, the artificial sugar. And that is also very toxic to the pet. So the caffeine, the theobromine in the chocolate, and the artificial sweeteners that we have, those all will affect the GI tract, the tummy and the intestine, and the nervous system. And what we don't want to do is we don't want to jeopardize them where you're taking them to the emergency room on Halloween night or the next day after they start showing these symptoms that are not very pleasant and spending somewhere between $600 and $3,000. So we don't want to jeopardize the pet, and we don't want to jeopardize our pocketbook. As a substitute for that, what you might want to do is think about having, you know, special treats for your pet and make sure that that's what they're going to be getting in their little bag when they're going trick-or-treating. And if you're giving out trick-or-treat candies, maybe have a separate container where you're having just the pet treats for the pets, and make sure that when the people come by with their pets, that the pet bag gets filled with that special pet treat.
And that's definitely great advice. And also when it comes time for the kids, sorting out that Halloween candy, making sure that it's up at an elevated level, not on the carpet. Where can people go for more Halloween tips and keeping their pets safe?
Sure. They can go to our Facebook and Twitter feeds. We're going to be posting pictures of great costumes, giving out some great tips while we're here in Key West, getting people ready for the upcoming holiday, reminding people, you know, keep the aggressive dogs home, watch out for the candles and decorations. And Dr. Fleck has some news, too.
Oh, what's your news?
The news is that there's a great article that I put together on the timely concern of the Ebola virus and pets. It is one that'll be very informative and quell the concerns of your listeners that are pet-friendly listeners. And if they just go to the website epipet.com, epipet.com, go to newsletters and find that article, and it'll be very informative for all your concerned pet owners.
And it's definitely worth checking out. Thank you guys so much for coming on the program.
Thank you very much. And check
good luck
your Twitter
to you.
Feed.
All right.
We just sent you a special message.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I will definitely do that. Have a great day. And it's been a pleasure having you guys on so much.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
Bye. That was Charlotte Reed and Dr. Michael Fleck. They are known as the Dynamic Pet Duo. She's a pet trendologist, and he is a doctor of veterinary medicine. We're going to go ahead and take our first commercial break, but stay tuned. You're listening to The Brin Project.
Pennsylvania construction sites. To work there, you gotta be tough, reliable, and safe. That's why so many sites choose JCB, the world's safest skid steer with a side entry door. And for a limited time, every JCB skid steer comes with double the standard warranty for 4 years. Or get 4 years, 0% APR, and 4 months with no payments at Stevenson JCB. Go to jcbpromo.com/double. Offer valid until December 31st, 2014 on select new models at participating JCB Pennsylvania dealers. Subject to JCB finance approval.
Sometimes the perfect way to express an emotion or celebrate a special occasion is with flowers. For flowers for any occasion or just because, no one does it better than Katie Mack Floral Designs. Katie and her staff can help you pick flowers or an arrangement that everyone will love. And Katie Mack Floral Designs provides same-day delivery on all bouquets. If you're looking for a unique floral design that will stand out from all the others, Katie Mack is the place. Katie Mack Floral Designs is located located at 365 South High Street in the heart of Westchester. Order your flowers by calling 610-431-9414. That's 610-431-9414. If you need an idea for the perfect bouquet, visit their website, Katie, spelled K-A-T-I, Mac, M-A-C, floraldesigns.com. Katie Mac Floral Designs is the official florist for the Morning Magazine and Eat, Drink, and Dish. Make Katie Mac the official florist for your family, too.
Hi, I'm Vouch Minkowski from Dancing with the Stars, and you're listening to The Brink Project.
Welcome back to The Brin Project, and from our pets to ourselves, the Halloween season and fall season can be a fun time for decorating and fashion. This month especially, we have an excuse to over-decorate and even dress to be someone else, joining the conversation to chat about some fun Halloween feng shui decorating and fashion tips is feng shui interior design expert Alicia Carey. Hey there, Alicia. How have you been?
I've been excellent, Brin. I hope you're well as well.
Oh, I've been amazing. And so, I don't know if you heard the beginning of this show. I just want to fill you in. November 1st will be my last radio show with the station.
I'm beyond bummed. But I understand one thing. With change always comes wonderful opportunities. So I know the next level of your career and your business is going to be amazing.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And it's been an awesome time having you each month on the show as well.
Well, you're the best. I'm going to say this right now so everybody can hear. You are the best interviewer. Like, you are, the thing about you is you don't go off the script. You don't go off anything. You really ask the questions that most people don't, and you listen. And I think that's one of the great things I like talking to you, aside from your spirit, is the fact that you really do listen and come back with some great provocative questions.
Oh, well, thank you so much for that. And since you did mention about getting on topic, I guess I should get to the point of you being on the show, and that is talking a little Halloween fun when it comes to decorating and even some of that Halloween fashion and fall fashion.
Okay, wonderful. Yes. So let's start talking about the decorating aspects of Halloween. Halloween is a fun time. It's a great time. It's the time to, you know, do and explore things that you want to do and maybe even play out a fantasy that you've always wanted to play out but just was too afraid to ask. So let's take a look at your home first before we go on to the fashion.
Okay.
The home is where the heart is, and Halloween is a great time, a great excuse to kind of decorate your home. I love any reason, any season to decorate my home. So I'm talking about bring things in that is going to lift the spirit and also add some color. So take some outside and bring indoors. So I'm talking gourds. I'm talking pumpkins. I'm talking any streamers. You know, obviously do it tastefully, but you don't have to go out and buy the things that you see at the store. But just bring the Halloween colors in, the yellow, the burnt orange, the green, the browns. Bring that into your home, and you can do that in so many ways. You can change up. This is a great time to change up your throw. Like, look at the throw on the back of your couch or chair, and if it's blue or it just seems, if it still says Happy Holidays or something on it, go out, get yourself something inexpensive. I love the discount stores. Go to Marshall's, go to, you know, your local Five and Dime, and just get a different color and throw it on the back, and that's going to really punch up the room and very inexpensively and bring in the Halloween flavor.
And that way you don't have to feel like you're over decorating. But is it possible to over decorate for Halloween?
Yes, it is. It is. It actually is. I've seen some stuff, and it's not pretty. I've been on the other side. It's not pretty. I'm talking the door, all that kind of things. Yes, you can do it tastefully. For example, look at your door. I've seen some door prizes, Hall of Shame. This is time, instead of maybe, if you do have kids, you have to go a little bit overboard, and you might want to do a skeleton or some sort of cobwebs, but be creative. So on the door, I would do kind of a Halloween wreath. So do something that speaks to Halloween but still is very tasteful. And in your home, instead of having 500 streamers all around, look for an area that you can kind of give a little bit of a banner to, or just make it into some sort of, like, for example, your table. Your table, dining room table, if you don't have one, then your coffee table or side table, where you can create your own little imagery. So I have a bowl in front of me that's got, it's a glass bowl filled with leaves, and then I've taken the little pumpkins that you see, the little gourds that you can buy, and I've sort of put it into a nice pyramid in the bowl with the green leaves around it, and that's great. You can also, if you want, when it comes to Halloween, I'm not unopposed to doing things like lights if you wanted to, but once again, keep it tasteful. Keep it, maybe you want to ring the lights around the window, but don't put it like where everything is everything, like you just went to the Party Barn store and you got everything that they had on sale.
You just got super excited and wanted to just decorate your house, rather give maybe the window one feature, whether it's something actually in the window or lights around the window.
Exactly. And then speaking of lights, I love it that, once again, you always do this to me, you always give me that. When it comes to lights, I'm never outgrowing carving a pumpkin. I started when elementary school, when you did it with your teacher, and carve a pumpkin and put a tea light in it every night. Like, that is a great way to, you know, get a kit. You don't have to, if you don't have the spirit to kind of, you're not that creative, just get a stencil. Go to Michael's, get a stencil. Do a party with your girlfriends or by yourself or significant other. Get a nice turkey, that's the next season. Get a nice pumpkin. Do a carve out and then clean it out. Do a carve. Put in a light. You can put in something on a base, but make sure, obviously, that you're, you know, when you're not home, that you don't light it. It doesn't stay by itself.
And I love those ideas because you're staying festive, you're staying fun, but you're not doing so much that you either are pretty much taking too much time in the midst of a busy schedule, but at the same time, it's not going to look tacky either.
Exactly. If you're an adult, I say do it. Be an adult. Bring some gourds, some pumpkins, some tea lights, some fall colors into your home. And if you want, I give you permission to do something funky on the door. You can put a skeleton on the door. If you have children, you might want to be a little bit more, just do things that will sort of speak to them. You might want to put little streamers, and I've seen it, little skull streamers, that you can put like at strategic points, the window. You can put it in their room. If they love Halloween, put it in their room. You don't have to put it in the entire home.
Oh, I like that idea. That, I mean, and then if one person likes one idea and one person doesn't, it's not something that's going to affect both people.
Exactly, and you can still invite your friends over without them saying, what's with the Halloween decorations? And you know what? As a kid, I love waking up and seeing a Christmas tree. So wouldn't it be great this time? Kids are so excited. Like, Halloween is their Christmas. It's their time. They're so amped about it. So make a project with little Johnny and little Janie and decorate their room Halloween style, and they will love it. Give them new sheets. Like, give them skull sheets or Halloween sheets that you can get at, like I said, a local discount store. Make their room is spectacular for them, and that way you can keep the rest of the house to you and your husband and your visiting guests.
Well, let's move from the Halloween decorating and take that energy of Halloween and of fall and talk a little fashion.
Excellent. Thank you for that. Now, this is a time everybody's thinking about their holiday budget. They don't want to spend a lot. Halloween, believe it or not, you can spend a lot when it comes to things like costumes and all that stuff. So when the talk comes to fashion, I'm going to say this tip is going to be best. The tip I'm saying right now is save your money for holiday shopping. And when it comes to fashion, go for accessories. Now, accessories are like putting lipstick on when you just don't have the budget for a full makeover or whatever. It just, accessories take you from drab to fab always. So let's talk about five accessories, First accessory, statement necklace. I've seen a statement necklace done wonders for anything from a T-shirt to an evening occasion. Like, that just pops it. That will take a little black dress and make it into an Oscar dress. So find a statement necklace or necklaces that you can keep. So when you're feeling down or when you just want a special occasion, a wedding or whatever, that you're going to make a red carpet entrance like nobody's ever seen. So, and it doesn't have to break the bank. You can go to Claire's, you can go to a department store, or you can splurge on a really nice statement necklace, but have at least one statement necklace that you can rely on to help bring your, elevate your outfit to another level.
Right, because that can turn a simple outfit into something that's a little more glamorous.
Exactly, exactly. And then let's talk about a belt. You know, not everybody has a double zero or whatever the shape is these days, but belts are your ideal because I think especially for people who just need a little bit more kind of like hourglass shape or bring in their shape a little bit, do a belt. You can do anything from a skinny belt to a wide belt. And the thing about the belt, it brings in the waist. It accentuates the figure. It gives you the feminine female form. And you feel sexy. I know when I'm watching a woman outside, I know when she feels confident because she has this bounce, she has a step, she just has that confident air about her. And I think a belt can bring in like a sort of a just a drab dress, pull it in, a nice pop of color, maybe a red, and just wear it with a charcoal gray like a sweater dress and put on your little booties and you're good to go.
Well, before we have to go to our next break, let's quickly go over the last three items that you say are good accessory essentials to have.
Okay, great. The next one is earrings. I say indulge in a pair of earrings that you love. If you want to splurge, little diamond earrings. If not, once again, department store is your best friend. And then shoes. Once again, shoes this season, everything from shoe booty to over-the-knee boots. Get a boot in your closet this season. You can go do the safe route and do a brown or black boot that can go with skinny jeans or just with skirts. And finally, the last thing, the bag, because the bag is the anchor of your outfit. You can be wearing anything, but a statement bag, whoa, that just elevates you to another level. And speaking of that, I've actually designed a statement bag. It's called the Carry Bag, that's C-A-R-E-Y, Carry Bag Collection Series. It's a big bag. I'm a big bag girl, and I love big bags. So for my first bag, I actually designed it. So if you go to my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/couturebyalicia, you will see the statement bag of the season, the biggest, baddest black bag, leather bag. And the great thing about this is you can customize it. So if you want a black bag, black leather, or white leather, or brown leather, or blue leather, or red leather, you can pick your choice of leather color. Then inside, you can also pick your choice of the silk lining cover. So you can have green, blue, yellow, any color you want, you can think of it and make your bag. And for my first collection, I did a black with red silk lining. So that takes my, if I'm wearing a pair of jeans and a cutoff and a t-shirt, statement bag carries me through the room like I'm a superstar, and it will do that for you too.
And all five of these are things that will take us from drab to fab. Where can people go to get more ideas from you, Alicia?
Of course. For the interior decorating ideas for fall and for the Halloween season, go to facebook.com/interiordesign.com/Alicia, Feng Shui Interior Design by Alicia. And then for the statement bag and some fabulous tips, go to facebook.com/couturebyalicia.
Awesome. And thanks for always coming on each month, Alicia. It's been a real pleasure, and I will definitely have to stay in touch with you.
Please, please stay in touch. I want to know what you're doing next, because I know whatever you're doing next, it's going to be fabulous, just like you are. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Alicia Carey. She is a Feng Shui interior design expert and a couture fashion expert. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then when we return, we're going to talk a little jewelry, kind of like what Alicia was saying, including that statement necklace, but it's going to be jewelry for a cause. So we'll be right back.
Now there's a new way to find your wild. PennsWilds.com guides you through Pennsylvania's great outdoors with articles that are serious, humorous, and always informative. You'll find Outdoors PA features with the Pennsylvania Game Commission covering hunting, licensing, and wildlife. Learn hunting safety, brag about your hunt, and upload photos to the Ram Trophy Room. PennsWilds.com. Brought to you by Ram Trucks and the rugged 2014 Ram 1500. Explore the wilds of Pennsylvania at PennsWilds.com. Safe Hunting PA in a minute. Brought to you by Ram.
Being a great hunter requires a lot of skill and a commitment to safety. Hunting for a great truck, however, only requires tracking down your nearest Ram dealer. That's because Ram 1500 is the only truck with an available class-exclusive EcoDiesel engine that gets up to 28 miles per gallon highway and can haul 9,200 pounds. See your local Ram dealer today. Guts. Glory. Ram. Based on standard pickup and automotive news classifications. EPA estimated 20 at MPG highway based on EcoDiesel V6 4x2. Max towing capacity when properly equipped. Ram is a registered trademark of Chrysler Group LLC.
The Pennsylvania Game Commission wants small game hunters to take these precautions to ensure your safety and the safety of others. Stay in the zone. Know your safe zone of fire and never swing toward or shoot at game moving between you and someone else. If you're not sure what you're shooting at, never take the shot. Remember, small game hunting parties are limited to 6. And don't forget the solid orange hat and vest visible from 360 degrees. For more information, log on to PennsWilds.com.
Hey, it's Cheryl Burke.
Tony Dovolani.
And Peter Megatroyd from Dancing with the Stars. And you're listening to...
WCHE.
1520 AM.
Welcome back to The Britain Project, and we've been focusing a lot on Halloween, but this month is also Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and one thing that you may have been seeing a lot of are products that have really come to support breast cancer. I'm going to bring up a jewelry line that not only is something to help accessorize your wardrobe, but also help to show support of someone you know, that personal story to as personal as you can get. Joining me on the program is the founder of Isabel Grace Jewelry, Claudia Montez. Hi there, Claudia. How are you today?
Hey, Bren. Good, thanks. How are you guys doing?
We are doing just wonderful. So talk to us a little bit about how you came up with the idea for Isabel Grace Jewelry.
Okay. Well, I was home on maternity leave when I started working on developing Isabel Grace Jewelry. But honestly, in the beginning, it was just, kind of a hobby thing. It didn't start as, hey, I'm going to make a business out of this. I ended up going back to work, and then I was working on, I decided at some point I'm going to try to make business out of this, and I was working my full-time job, and I was moonlighting at night, trying to put something together, and that's kind of how it started off.
That's awesome. And now, one thing, if anyone were to go to your website, isabelgracejewelry.com, they'll see that you are able to really personalize that jewelry to someone where you can take a word, something like fighter, and put it on the jewelry, and then it can represent either that person who's been diagnosed with breast cancer or keeping the memory alive for someone who maybe has passed away.
Yeah, definitely. I have a personal connection to breast cancer. My mom is a breast cancer survivor. My grandmother died of breast cancer, and I have a first cousin who's also a breast cancer survivor. So Wow. There's a very strong connection to breast cancer in our family. And, even before my mom was diagnosed, we were already doing breast cancer pieces and trying to be part of that awareness just in our small way and any way we can help. All of the breast cancer pieces that we sell on the site, a percentage of those sales goes back to the American Cancer Society.
And that's awesome, because it's not just helping to touch people to keep those memories alive, to encourage those who are still battling, but it's also helping to go to find a cure to make sure more people are becoming survivors.
Absolutely, yep. That's the whole goal, yep.
Now, what would you say maybe makes Isabel Grace different from another jewelry company or just another company in general that is teaming up to raise awareness for Breast Cancer Awareness Month?
I don't know if it makes us different. I mean, we just try to design, all my designs are geared towards, really just the everyday woman to things that are really wearable, durable, have a long-term life, you know, as far as lifespan of jewelry is concerned, and also, you know, on trend, but not overly, you know, we're not overly chasing trends. We try to design with classic and elegant appeal in mind and just moving forward, something, a piece that can be passed on to, you know, from a mother to a daughter in 10 years. That's still going to be trendy and, you know, beautiful, classic.
And you hit a word there with elegant. It sounds like these pieces aren't just something that you can wear every day, but if you have a special occasion coming up that's a little bit fancier, you don't necessarily have to take that off for not matching. You can definitely still keep it on.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, a lot of what we do is, you know, pieces that can be layered with other pieces that you might have in your wardrobe. But yeah, it's definitely something you can dress up or dress down. A lot of our design gears around that.
That's awesome. And I imagine that you've gotten to hear a lot about the customer stories for why they maybe picked a certain word to go on the jewelry, or what's going on in their life, or the loved one who has been diagnosed.
Yeah, definitely. We have a section on our website that's called Share Your Story, Change Someone Else's. And basically, when somebody goes onto the website, there's a button for that. They can come on to the site, tell us why, you know, a lot of what we do is personalized jewelry. So really, it from the beginning to the end, it's about what the customer is personalizing and putting together. And this portion of the website, we ask people to tell us what that piece of jewelry means to them, and then they get to make a charitable donation to a charity of their choice. We have 5 charities set up on there that they can choose from, and we donate $10 to that charity.
I like that it's not just necessarily you guys picking a charity, but also for the customer to pick. And the website is Isabel Grace Jewelry.com. I keep wanting to say Isabella for some reason.
Everybody does.
IsabelGraceJewelry.com. Thank you so much for coming on the program, Claudia.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Have a great day.
You too. Thanks, friend.
Thank you. That was Claudia Montez. She is the founder of IsabelGraceJewelry.com. And the cool thing about the jewelry is that even if you have a loved one who may have lost their battle with cancer, you can still have a piece of their memory worn around your neck. We're going to take a final commercial break, but stay tuned. You're listening to The Brin Project.
If you want to know what's happening in Harrisburg and across Pennsylvania, then you need to check out PAMatters.com. Video, audio, news article features, and reporter blogs will keep you in touch with your lawmakers at the state capitol. Every month, we bring you an exclusive conversation with Governor Tom Corbett as he answers your questions submitted through PAMatters.com. Bookmark PAMatters.com today. We're also on Facebook. Click like and join in the conversation on the PA Matters page. PAMatters.com. People, politics, Pennsylvania.
Hey, this is John Robertson. You're listening to The Brin Project.
Welcome back to The Brin Project. So with October being both the month of Halloween and Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we have the urge to not just be healthy, and but also that urge to fight giving into some of those Halloween treats and just overindulging. So here to help you make some healthier choices this Halloween is health correspondent and Pilates instructor Sarah Durano. Welcome back, Sarah.
Thank you, Brin.
Thank you for coming on the program. And now, any holiday really seems to get us in that mindset that it's okay to give into all of the treats, but then afterwards we kind of will regret it because we indulge just a little too much. So how can we practice that balance of having a couple of those treats while still maintaining our healthy habits?
Well, here's the thing. Halloween is only one day. So if you keep that in mind, and it's still more important what you eat every day on a regular basis, you know, for your health. So, you know, it is okay to indulge that one day. Now, having said that, if you overdo it, you know, you might feel uncomfortable. You might, like you said, regret it. So you do want to keep things in mind that can help so that you don't regret, you know, any sort of fun that you have, because there's a lot of traditions around holidays, and I'm a huge fan of go ahead and doing that, you know, just to honor that and to spend time with your family and friends. But, you know, what you can do to try to cut back on the amount of candy, which is obviously very nutrition deficient, you know, it's just not very good for us, and we all know that, and it's processed, you know. But, you know, you can make your own treats. You know, that's certainly something that's gotten a lot of interest. Like, you can go on places like Pinterest. There we go. Sorry.
You're fine.
And check, you know, for different ways of making really fun, you know, scary or, you know, Halloween-themed goodies. And that's a fun way to do it because then you control the ingredients. You know what's in there. It's not processed. It's not something off the shelf. Probably saves you money in the long run as well. And then you can do portion control as well. So you're not buying, like, a huge bag of candy, and then if there's some left over, I guess who ends up eating it? You know, I'm guilty of that. You know, it's in the house, and you don't want to waste it. So there it is, and what happens is you end up eating it. Whereas fresh treats, you know, they probably will go bad, so you do have to either give them out to friends or, you know, that sort of thing, and or newly baked treats, you know, depending what you're making. But there's warm apple cider you could even do with cinnamon sticks in there, apple slices of the pumpkin dip, you know, even popcorn tossed with cinnamon and sugar is a pretty cool treat. You know, so it's really neat just to do kind of fall-themed or Halloween-themed treats, you know, and just research it or, you know, ask your family around if they have any ideas. We love roasting the pumpkin seeds. That's another good one. So instead of wasting those seeds when you core out the pumpkin, there's great recipes on how to do that. You know, you can just put salt on it, but maybe garlic salt or, you know, there's butter. You know, there's all sorts of, just go light on the butter, all sorts of things you can do.
Now, these are ideas that are nice and healthy, nice and light calorie-wise, and in terms of the nutrients, they're a little bit better for you, and they're good for if you're hosting a party or to bring as a guest. But what about when it comes to trick-or-treaters? Because we all know that when it comes to trick-or-treating, you don't necessarily want to go for something that was homemade just because you don't necessarily know what the person did to it, if you can trust that person.
That's a good point.
With that leftover candy that we might have from trick-or-treating, if we did buy that big bag, how can we portion control that?
Okay, so definitely let your kids eat healthier snacks first. So some of the ones I just mentioned are healthier. So have them somewhat fill up on those. And then, of course, they're going to want their Halloween candy. But portion it out. And most kids are pretty smart about that. You know, you only need to get a bellyache one time, and then they remember, like, oh, that really stank. You know, I kind of stuffed myself and didn't feel well. So, and, you know, if you need to, then you help them with that. You know, just divvy up their favorites. You know, maybe allow them to have a few that night. Some parents even then divvy them up in maybe little baggies or something like that to give them to them on a regular basis, whether that's every day or every week. You could really make them last a long time. Some people even end up donating their candy because they get so much of it. You know, you'd have to research where or who would take those donations. But, you know, or people are guilty of bringing them in the office, right? And then you end up eating them at the office. But, you know, any way to not waste them, in my opinion, is a good thing. But also just keep them smaller portions. So the companies, you know, like Hershey's and such, are doing a good job of that. They come fun size instead of the full size. And I think that's the way to go because it's more fun anyway. You get to try different, you know, kinds and not fill up on a huge candy bar. You know, so just give, you know, allow your kid whatever amount, you know, you're going to allow them and then just get it out of sight.
Although I will say, I think every kid cheers for the house. The one house that does seem to skip the fun size and go right for the regular size or even king size
candy
bar. It's
so true. I know. And the families are usually very proud of that, too. They're like, oh, every year we have it in our old neighborhood. And he's like, oh, yeah, we always give out, you know, the big full-size candy bars. Yeah, I'd have to say my kids don't eat them. They end up sitting there because, you know, it's a lot of chocolate or whatever. You know, it's not that they don't eat candy, but that's a lot for a kid to take in. Like, I don't usually eat a candy bar either. I usually portion it out, whatever. It's just personally what I do. But, you know, it's interesting, but it is fun. I know. But, you know, it's tradition. If that's the family's tradition, sure, go for it. You know, I don't like to deprive ourselves, you know, because a lot of times that's when kids crave these things or they go to their friend's house and say, oh, my gosh, do you have whatever candy, because my parents won't let me have it, you know, and they end up getting it anyway. And I just feel like it could create an unhealthy relationship with food, you know, if you kind of restrict it too much.
And that's a great point. But what are also some options to even get, whether it's the kids after trick-or-treating, after they've had some candy, or even guests at a party who've been snacking a bit, just up and moving, some fun ideas to even just entertain them?
Yeah, so I used to always have, when my kids were littler, crafts for them to do, like decorate things when they get back, you know, whether it's little pumpkins or any sort of Halloween-themed crafts. But for adults, you know, and freeze dance is another fun one, too. So play, like, Halloween, you know, kid-appropriate songs, and then turn the music off, and then they have to, stop and pose, and then, you play that sort of game. But, and adults can play that, too, but for adults or kids, you could wrap a mummy, so you get toilet paper, you know, and you wrap the person, and someone gets to pick and judge which one was the best. There's the horror movie drinking game. So, like, you pick a phrase or something that happens in the movie, and then whenever they say or something happens, then you would drink, you know, an alcoholic beverage, you know, of your liking. So that one I thought was pretty cool. Pumpkin racing. So you would have to hold a heavy pumpkin, and you can make them hold it, like, behind their back or something to make it more difficult. I thought that was pretty cool, too. And then, pumpkin hunt, like a hide-and-seek type of deal or whatever. It's not hide-and-seek, a scavenger hunt. But, you know, you would do it with Halloween-themed things as your prizes and that sort of thing. And then an old-school ghost story is always fun, too. And I think that's a neat way to do it as well.
Right, and then you're really tapping into the spirit of Halloween, having fun celebrating, rather than keeping it the focus on the candy.
Exactly. And again, it's family spending time together and mm-hmm. friends. For us, it's our neighborhood, you know, gets together. And I love it. I think it just creates great traditions that the kids will remember, hopefully, you know, their whole lives.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you. And thanks so much, Sarah, for coming on the program. I know you're not able to come on next week, so this is unfortunately our last segment together.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for having me on all these years.
Well, and I will definitely keep in touch. It's been such a pleasure working with you, and maybe I can get someone here at the station to utilize you and your knowledge, and that way you're continuing to get your message across.
Thank you so much, and I wish you very well.
I wish you very well, too. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Bye. That was Sarah Duran. She is a health correspondent and also a Pilates instructor. And before we run out of time, I just want to say that even though my last show is November 1st, I will still have my website. It's brynmchenry.wix.com/brynproject, and I'll also keep facebook.com/brynproject open as well. Until next time, don't forget to get outside and get active.